you want and turn to Philippians 2.
Okay.
That's kind of what you're saying, Philippians 2, beginning verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So this here is what you mentioned earlier. It's not just, say, when we come together on Sunday that we do certain things. This should be daily in our lives. So, my presence, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. And this is not your, obviously you're saving from your sins, but this is your daily walk. You're being saved from the power of sin. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And one of our purposes is we bring glory to God because people see Christ living in us. And one of the older brothers in our meeting, he says, it's not a lifestyle which produces a life, but it's the new life in Christ Jesus which should produce our lifestyle. Mm. And that's the most wonderful thing. We're to hold forth the word of life. And then in 1 Thessalonians 2, and again verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God who has called you under the kingdom of glory.
And that's the ultimate purpose that I think each of us were created for the glory of God. That we would bring Him glory while we're walking here. And then I want us to go back to that passage also, because not only run with purpose, but then in verse 25, there's something else there. Look at verse 25. What do you see there? 1 Corinthians 9. What might we put next to that verse?
Pride.
I'm sorry?
Pride. You popped up. You know, people want to be the boss.
1 Corinthians 9:25.
Yeah, every man strives for the mastery of temperate knowledge. Now they do obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So mankind, in the flesh, they want to be the top dog, if you will. But now who's our example is Christ. He is the top dog, but he humbled himself. Theirs is an incorruptible one. This was okay. Christ. He humbled himself, and he is highly exalted.
And we could add into that, I think that that those who are doing this with pride, even though they have a personal goal, maybe personal pride or fame or notice by others, even there, they are temperate, the New King James says. Even they know that they can't just do whatever they want if they're going to be successful in the outcome of their race. They can't just eat whatever they want. They can't just stay up all hours or whatever. They know they have to have some kind of self-control. And that's that's, I think, maybe also where you're noticing too, Tim, that it's even if they have such a selfish goal, and we have, as you said, by contrast, someone who's a much different example than that, yet still, if those who are natural can exercise self-control, shouldn't we be exercising that as well?
Yeah, that's what I had in mind here. More on the positive note is that you and I are not only to run with purpose for the glory of God, but we also need self-control in our life. And isn't that a fruit of the Spirit, right? That's an evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And there's probably much that can be said about that. Then if you look down at the next verse, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one that beats the air. What can we pick up from that to apply to this business of training ourselves?
When someone's running the race, it's not a question that they look around and say, well, where do I want to run? There's a goal before them, right? And that's where they have their eyes fixed, and that's where they're going. And that orchestrates all the rest of what they do.
Can anybody think of another verse along that lines of what Kevin just said?
What did he say again? I don't think we could hear it back.
A goal. You're running toward a goal. And I wrote down in my notes, run focused on the goal.
Looking into Jesus.
Yeah. Okay, good. What is it?
Hebrews 12:1. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
And
for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross.
Despising
the shame. All right. You finish it up.
Good.
I was also thinking the promise that we have, as God is our Father, is also an object for us to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh outwardly and the spirit inwardly, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
And where's the reference there in those
verses? Oh, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1.
2 Corinthians 7, 1.
Is there any other verses about this thought of the goal? Is that a hand raised back in the back?
No.
Okay. Just checking. I'll give you a hint. That's the hint right there. Go ahead.
Philippians 3, verse 14. I press towards the mark, to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Okay, so just to sum that part of it up for us, we're to run with purpose. We need to have, there needs to be self-control in our life. We're going to come back to that toward the end of today's study, I think. And then we need to run with our eyes on the right goal. We've all heard the story about the football player. I forget when. My father-in-law's here. He could probably tell the story better than me. But it was way back when. That's why he could tell it. But he caught the ball and he ran all the way down to the wrong goalpost. And his own team members had to tackle him before he almost made a touchdown for the other team. And sometimes that's what we are. We're running the wrong direction. And so the thought is here that we need to focus on the right goal.